Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The despair that leads so many to suicide comes because they see no hope, no way out of a dead end that makes life no longer worth living. The message of redemption in Christ is the answer for all who see no hope. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. Erwin Lutzer is in the book of Hebrews, teaching about the sacrifice of Jesus, whose death paid the price for all of our sin.
Now, all that by way of introduction, we're in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Thank you so much for bringing your Bibles. That is thanking some of you for something you haven't done, but that God wants you to learn to do. And I have my cell phone up here, but it's not because I'm looking at anything. It's to keep my pages down because sometimes the air conditioner blows my notes away. All right? But notice Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to begin at verse 12. It's kind of in the middle of things. But he, Jesus, entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. That's the precious blood. Thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, here's the phrase, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Always remember the purpose of this series of messages, and I hope you've memorized the verse, is 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction, the aim of our instruction is love that flows from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. We're talking about a good conscience. So what he's saying here, as far as its value to us is concerned, to the blood of Christ, that what it does is it cleanses us from dead works. Well, what's a dead work? A work is a ritual that you go through that you think is going to incur the favor of God so that you are accepted by him. That's a dead work. For the folks to whom the book of Hebrews was written, it was going back to the Old Testament sacrifices. Some of them said, I don't know about this business of Jesus and the fact that he accomplished it all. We have to reoffer the sacrifices. And for those people, they were dead works. Even in the Old Testament times, in a sense, these were dead works because there was no ultimate assurance that forgiveness had eternally been granted. They were in a state there of a flux. Yes, they had fellowship with God, but where's the final sacrifice? Well, it's Jesus, the final sacrifice. Now, what can a dead work be? Mass is a dead work because in the Mass, Jesus is reoffered again and again, and somehow the work of Jesus is never seen as totally, completely finished. Baptism can be a dead work. We baptize people here, but not because we think this baptism is going to gain them some special access to God. Hear me now, and don't misunderstand. Confession can be a dead work. Martin Luther confessed his sins up to 6 hours at a day until Staupitz, his confessor, was so sick of it. He said, the next time come with some big sins, not all these little smidgens, these little peccadillos. You know, let it be murder or something like that. Luther was a better theologian than that, though. He knew that that's not the issue. The issue is not whether the sin was big or little. The issue was whether or not a holy God had acquitted his sin. So all those years he confesses his sins, was he saved? No. because it was a dead work. He did not understand the gospel. People go to confession. Well, I go to confession on Sunday. Well, what if you commit sins on Tuesday and die on Wednesday? Then what happens? It's a dead work. Good works can be a dead work. I'm convinced that there are people today who do charitable things because it makes them feel better and because they think that surely God is going to look down and say, "Oh boy, you have been so generous. I think I should accept you now." People sometimes operate out of guilt for good works. I have a friend who said that whenever he came home and mowed the lawn without being asked, his mother used to say to him, "Well, what have you been up to now? What atonement are you making?" Jesus comes and delivers us from all those dead works because of the acceptance, the full acceptance that we have in his presence. Now, just hang on to that thought, and your Bibles are now open to the next chapter, in chapter 10. If you look at verse 11, it says, and here's a contrast now between the priests of the Old Testament and Jesus in the New. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down on the right hand of God, waiting from that time until the enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Now notice this, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all time, forever, those who are being sanctified. The work is totally done. Now let's look at the contrast. Old Testament, many priests. Jesus, one priest. Old Testament, many sacrifices. That's where the book of Leviticus comes in. Jesus, one sacrifice. One sacrifice for all time. Perfecting forever. You see, what Luther needed was an understanding that showed him that there was a work of God that was so sufficient that he could have the assurance that he belonged to God forever. And he never understood that until he was studying the book of Romans, where that idea also is found. So the point is simply this, that there were many priests and they had to stand. It's my understanding that when you had a priest in the Old Testament, they worked on 8-hour shifts. They were never allowed to sit. Because to sit is to imply that your work is finished, and God wanted to say your work is never finished. It's endless. You know, you try to please God by doing this, but the question is, have you done enough? It's an endless experience. And Jesus, when he finishes his work, the Bible says that he sat down because he said, "It is finished." The work is done. The work is finished. Now, with your Bibles open, let's continue to read here. I'm in verse 19. And I'm going to make some comments about these verses, and then we're going to go to the transforming lessons. Therefore, brothers, and we might include sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, you understand the imagery here. In the Old Testament, the priest could go into the holy place. That's where the altar of incense was. That's where the showbread was. That's where a candlestick was. They could go there. But to go into that area that is called the Holy of Holies, they could do it only on the high and holy day, the Day of Atonement. And according to Josephus, when the priest went in there, they had a rope on his ankle, so that if he did something wrong and God struck him dead, they'd be able to pull him out without having to go in. I mean, this is the very dwelling place of God. Now notice what the author is saying. We have confidence. I know that there's another translation I was looking at this week. We have boldness. Another good word for the word confidence. To enter into the holy places, including the inner sanctuary where God dwelt, Because we come with blood that God values so high that he says, if you come because your faith is in the blood of Jesus, you are welcome in my very presence. We come by the blood of Jesus. Now notice, continue to hang on, stay with me here. We come by a new and living way, new because it was not in the Old Testament, living way. The Greek text actually says a freshly slaughtered way. The imagery is that Jesus Christ died, but his death is so present that we can believe on him immediately. That he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. You remember when Jesus died, the curtain between the Holy of Holies and the holy place was ripped in two from top to bottom because God did it. And here what the author is thinking of is that just as Jesus Christ's body was ripped on the cross, in the very same way, thanks to his body and his suffering, the veil that separated the common person from the Holy of Holies has been ripped in two, thanks to Jesus. So we can come.
Yes, my friend, aren't you glad that when we come to Jesus, he is there to welcome us, to welcome us into the very Holy of Holies if we come through the blood of Christ? You know, the message that you are listening to is entitled, Why Lady Macbeth Didn't Have to Commit Suicide. And I titled it that because I know that there are teenagers, I heard about some of them, and you probably know some, who for one reason or another decided that life was so difficult, they'd messed up so greatly, that they decided to commit suicide. What a burden for their families. My point in this message is, if only they understood grace. If they only understood that through the blood of Jesus Christ we can come directly into God's presence, if they understood the gospel, they would see that suicide is never a necessity. It's always a bad idea. And this message is actually part of a larger series entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. I've always believed that unless we have a clear conscience before God and before others, we will always be held back in our Christian walk. Whenever we want to make progress, there that issue will be that we haven't dealt with. And so it's been my prayer that as a result of these messages, people will be able to deal with these kinds of issues so that they can progress in their walk with God.
My friend, let me share my heart with you. It is because of people like you that Running to Win can go around the world sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're looking for more endurance partners to run this race. Go to moodymedia.org and click on Endurance Partners, and you will find out how you can help many people make it across the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer with more on the tragedy of suicide. Next time, why the work of Christ is sufficient to rid us of any depression that could lead to suicide. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.